Good morning. This morning, we're talking about the second son, the parable of the two lost sons. And to keep, well, let me go ahead and read the text and then we'll talk. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back, safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Father, your word is truth. And I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have placed inside the hearts of believers, and to teach us the truth. And Lord, you promised that he would. And I'm asking this morning, Lord, that your word will accomplish what you send it out to do. Father, I know there are people in here that are hurting. I pray that you comfort them with the comfort of the Spirit as only you can. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever you teach a text, you want to keep it in context. When you take a text out of context, that's how doctrines get started. False doctrine. Okay? And it's the same thing in this story. This is a parable. And when you read the scholars, well, they all got opinions of who Jesus was talking to, what the elder son was like, what the younger son was like, and they write it in such a way you begin to think they don't think this is a parable. You know, they're really diving into this, but a parable was a way that a rabbi taught truth. They say men will remember things if you put it in a story. They'll remember it longer. Women will remember things longer if it appeals to their emotions. That's not saying women are not intelligent. We're just wired different. In the beginning of this chapter, Jesus was receiving sinners. And it said the scribes and the Pharisees complained. Luke writes, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Okay. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save the lost. Alright. These people were lost. These sinners. And I told you last week, when they talk about sinners in this context, they're talking about sinners on purpose. These people don't go to church. They don't try to keep the law. You know, they know sinners and they don't try to hide it. And the Pharisees and the scribes were rebuking Jesus because, according to Dr. Clark, it says he receives them. In the Greek, means he receives them cordially and affectionately. He loved them. And he took them to his bosom. He said that whole word means that. In the Greek word for love, Jesus was very cordial, very pleasant, and he took them to his heart. He had a heart for the lost. And the Pharisees did. The Pharisees, you remember, were the sect who kept the law to the letter. And they had no association with anyone who didn't. They were very aloof and separate from the people. If you've ever heard the term ascetic, they were ascetic. And ascetic people, asceticism causes people to pull away from certain people and not have anything to do with them. Because that will defile them. And Jesus is telling these parables to the religious leaders of his day. And he is showing them the heart of God, and Jesus is reaffirming why he's there. They didn't like that. They said, "You're eating with sinners. Don't you know the scandal that's going to cause Jesus?" Jesus told them one day, he said, "You know, John the Baptist came and he didn't eat or drink. John drank water and he ate bugs and honey." And Jesus said, "You said he was demon possessed. He said, I've come among you and I eat and drink." And he said, "You're going to call me a drunkard and a glutton, a friend of sinners." They weren't happy. The Pharisees didn't like John because John called them snakes. They didn't like Jesus because he called them whitewashed tombs. But John and Jesus both were trying to bring them to a knowledge of repentance. Okay? Now, this elder brother has very commendable qualities in the story. But you learn quickly, if you will read the text, the elder brother's complaint is all about him. I mean, he is furious. He has disowned his brother. In the Jewish culture, the Jewish father, when that boy took his inheritance and went and was sinning like he was, the father would usually say, "You're dead." And a lot of times, if he came back, they'd say, "I don't know who you are. My son died." Okay? But Jesus, in this parable, to teach his people, he's saying this is the way God looks at repentant sinners. You remember? The boy came to himself. He got out of the pig pen. He repented. He came to his father and he confessed his sin. And how did the father receive him? I told you last week, it said he embraced him and he kissed him. And Dr. Clark said the Greek means kiss, 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 kiss. Just smothered that boy with kisses. And he started celebrating. He didn't even let the kid finish his speech. You know, he said, "Take me as a servant." And dad said, "Put the best robe on him, the party robe, the one for special occasions. Put a signet ring on his feet. That restores him to a place as my son. I recognize him as my son. He's not dead. Put shoes on his feet." That showed his release from captivity. And I imagine the servants are going, "Wow, you know, our master sure is forgiving." And Jesus is telling his people, at that time the Jews, this is what salvation looks like. If you come to yourself. The Greek says he came to the right frame of mind. And Clark says the reason it said that is because sin, the very essence of sin, is insanity. It's doing what you know is wrong and is punishable. You know, a lot of people keep the law, and I've heard this not as much now, but they'll say they're God-fearing, law-abiding citizens. Well, they may be law-abiding, but it doesn't mean they fear God. It means they fear the consequences if they break the law. And the way you could know that is if all of a sudden they repealed all law, so everything goes. You'd be surprised what some of the people you thought were God-fearing would do, because there'd be no consequence. Now, the older son today, I told you, he is in this mindset kind of like that. It's all about him. He can care less if that boy's come home. In fact, he's mad. He is angry that his father has forgiven him and shown him what he thinks is cheap grace. This is the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, very often when Jesus told these parables, it said they would get off and talk among themselves. And they would be angry because they knew he was talking about them. But here, we see God's mercy. reaching out even to these men. What's the elder son say? Look, all these years I have served you. Some translations said, I have slaved for you, Dad. That's a good trait. I'm a hard worker, Dad. I've never one time obeyed you. That's a good trait. Dad knew when he said something to the elder son did it. I'm not saying he didn't grumble about it. He kept that to himself. But he did it. And in the elder son's eyes, he was righteous, more righteous than his brother, because he kept the rules and he didn't go out and do what his brother did. Very admirable. Evidently, this elder son had never been with a prostitute. He had never lived that kind of life. He never did anything that would bring shame, what he thought, to his father. He honored his father, which is one of the Ten Commandments. I remember a kid in youth class at Nazarene Church. Him and his dad did not have a good relationship. In fact, his dad suffered from some mental illness, so he kind of had some problems. And the lady teaching that night said, honor your father and mother. He said, my dad's a jerk. I ain't going to honor him. And she just flew off the handle and said, you have to honor him. That's what the Bible says. You've got to honor him. You've got to respect him. He said, I don't respect him. He's a jerk. You can't do that. The Bible says respect your dad. And I stopped her because they were just arguing. I said, stop a minute. You're both wrong. I said, what the Hebrew says, young man, you bring honor to your mom and dad. You don't give them reason to have to duck their head in shame. I said, I don't care if your dad's the biggest jerk that walks the face of the earth. You're not supposed to add to that. You're not supposed to do anything that would bring shame on the family. And this younger brother did. And see, in the eyes of the law-abiding Jews, this kid is a rebel, and he doesn't deserve another chance. He broke his relationship with God. He cut it off. And that ought to be the end of it. Let him go. He made his bed. Let him sleep in it. But he repented. And see, the older brother didn't care about that. He was furious. He was so furious that he rebuked his father, which was wrong. He dishonored his father in this culture. I told you, when they killed the fattened calf, the blood was sacrificed to God. The meat was ate in what was called a fellowship offering. And it was like you and God sat down and had lunch together. That was the mindset. So the meat was holy and everybody partook and it was holy. Did you hear what the elder brother said? I'm not eating that. I'm not going to eat that. Not if he's going to be at the table. You won't find me there. When your son came home, that showed his contempt for his brother. He wouldn't even call him my brother. He said, when your son come home, you killed the fattened calf for him. You notice he didn't say, when your son came home, humble. I'll admit, Dad, yeah, I heard he was humble. I heard he confessed his sins. He didn't care about that. There's a lot of people today, church, don't care. If you call yourself a Christian, the ones that knew you back when, my wife told me she saw an old acquaintance of mine one time at Walmart, and he said, what's Rick doing now? She said, preaching. He said, no, that's not Rick. You know, I know when Rick didn't like preachers. Well, there's some of them I still don't care for too much, but, you know, but I preach the word. And I've run into other people say, I know a lot about you. Don't you bring all that holier than thou with me. Well, I tell them that man's dead. That's what his dad told the boy. His dad rebukes him, and rightly so. When the eldest son refused to come in, that dishonored his father in front of all the guests. But you see the love of the father. He goes out, and the Bible says he entreats him. Dad goes out as a delegate of peace. He says, look, this brother of yours,
I like that.
He rebuked him. He was dead. You're right. He was dead. He was dead to you. He was dead to God. He was dead to me. Because when he was out there hooking up with the hookers and drinking the best wine and eating gourmet food, that was dishonoring his father. So his father said he was dead to me. But what was worse, he was dead to God. Do you know that's why something the Holy Spirit's helped me to come to grips with is when you look at this world and the sin in it, they're dead to God. Jesus said that in John. He told the Pharisees, don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming and it's here right now when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God or the Son of Man, and they that hear shall live. He said, then there's another time coming when all who are in the grave shall hear their voice. Church, we live among a people that are dead to God. Yeah. So why should we be surprised at what they're doing? Why should we become ascetic like the Pharisees? And I'm telling you, the church has become ascetic for the most part. We'll just keep to ourselves. I ain't going to be sitting around them people. I had a Baptist preacher tell me one time, he got invited to a beer party by some of his old drinking buddies down on the creek. And he said, I wanted to go, Brother Rick, but I didn't. I said, why? Well, if somebody from the church would have seen me, I said, well, if they'd have seen you, they'd have been at the party. What are they going to do, you know? I saw the preacher at the party. Well, how'd you see that? Five people come out and say, preacher, so-and-so didn't have their eyes closed when you sprang. Well, the only way you're going to know that is you got your eyes open looking around. Who made you the sanctimonious police, you know? Well, what do I make sure everybody's holy? They're not picking, burping, or scratching during the service. And if they are, I'm going to come tell the preacher. I don't care. Here this oldest son is. He said, I keep the rules. And you never even gave me a goat so I could have a party. But for me, Dad, you never even gave me a goat. And Dad said, all I got is yours. He'd already divided the inheritance. And the Gene Two law said if the father, by his industry, acquired more wealth after he divided the wealth, he had a right to leave it to whomever he chose, and none of his children could say anything. Or, if he chose not to leave it to his children, he didn't have to. Some say, well, the elder son was probably worried that he was going to miss out, because now that the younger son was home, Dad might, with the heart he's stronger, and he might go ahead and give him that the rest of the riches, and they're rightfully mine, because I've earned them. And that's what the Pharisees were saying to Jesus. Hey, we don't run around, drink, smoke, and chew, and run with people that do. I've never had a cigarette in my mouth in my life. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But that don't make you righteous with God. Yeah. I've seen people that drink expensive wines out of crystal glasses look down their nose at a drunkard that drinks Thunderbird out of a brown paper bag. Some of you don't know what Thunderbird is. If you do, okay. You know what I'm talking about. And to me, you're both drinking pig slop. Pig slop is pig slop where you get it out of a brown paper bag or a crystal cup. Okay? The Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a rage. Those who deceive by them are not wise. When did this turn into a temperance sermon? I know that's probably what some of you are saying. Hey, get off of that, man. I drink a little wine with my meal. I don't have a problem with that. But if you're thinking that it makes you more righteous than people that drink more than you do, you're wrong. And that's where the eldest son's head was. Look at me, Dad. I've never broke the rules. Jesus kind of blew that argument out of the water one day when he was talking to his men, and it must have come up. He said, you have heard that it was said you shall not commit adultery. True. It's written, it's one of the Ten Commandments. But I say, the Pharisees got so mad at him for teaching that way because only a recognized rabbi was allowed to do that. All the others could say, if the law says you shall not commit adultery, cool, I've never committed adultery. Jesus said, but I say, I'm going to expound on this law. I'm going to open this law up to you. If you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery. And James said, if you break one law, you've broken the whole law. You're guilty of the whole law. See, the elder son wasn't as righteous as he thought he was. The law said, honor your father and mother. He dishonored his father in front of all the guests. I ain't going in there. No, I'm not going to go eat with you. I don't feel like eating fellowship meal with God right now. I'm a little perturbed with him and you. I've heard people, somebody will get saved, somebody's had a pretty hard past. Well, I don't have to see that to believe it. You know, like God needs your clearance to save somebody. I'm glad God didn't say, wait a minute, Rick, let me check with his church down the road if it's okay to save you. After I lived in Odin Wilders, a man told me one day, now we got it all. A grocery store, a gas station, a liquor store, and a town drunk. That was me. But one day, I came to myself. And I looked around, I was in the pig pen. And I said, I'm going to go back home to that father I heard about when I was about 9 years old. And you know how he greeted me? He ran up and wrapped his arms around me, and he kissed me and kissed me and said, I love you. And he said, put a robe of righteousness on him. Restore his honor and his dignity. Put shoes on his feet because he's my son. Amen. Jesus said when he was raised from the dead to Mary Magdalene and the other Marys, he said, go tell my brothers that I'm going to our father, their father and my father, their God and my God. See, Jesus tore down that wall that was between us. Gentiles, we ought to be some of the most humble people that walk the earth. God told the Jews, I'm going to make you mad by a foolish people. Well, thanks a lot, God. What's what he said. And he also talked about a time was coming. He said, when I'm going to show mercy to everyone who asks. And the elder son had a problem with that. How could you forgive him? And his dad said, he was dead, you're right, but now he's alive. And he said, it's right for us to celebrate, son. Because he's not dead to you, he's not dead to me, and he's not dead to God. What a God. I still remember a lot of my past, and I hang my head in shame when I think about it. But one promise I have is God doesn't hold that against me. And one thing I know from the changes he's made in me, I can say with full confidence, that guy's dead. He no longer has power in my life. You see, the kid that was keeping the rules thought that he was more righteous than his brother who didn't. The only difference between them is the elder brother didn't have the guts to go out and sin like his younger brother did. Okay? Jesus was telling the Pharisees and the scribes, y'all got a heart problem. Because that's where all evil comes from. No, not a nature of sin. He said, you have a problem in your mind. You're God. You're in control. You're going to decide what's right and wrong. And you're going to look down on people that don't live up to your standards. And in this parable, Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and the scribes and the wanderers, you're both wrong. Every one of you need a Savior. That's the story. That's the moral of this parable. Both those brothers needed a Savior, but only one accepted that. And that was the one who had the guts to get out of the pig pen and go home. Would you stand with me this morning? Being a Christian isn't keeping rules, although there are ways that we should conduct ourselves. Peter said, Christians, you're supposed to live in this world with holy fear. But nowhere have I read where it says, Christians, Christian church, you need to separate yourself from the rest of society. If all of us become ascetics, who's going to give the good news to the lost? It might be a Baptist, and there all the Baptist churches grow, and that just freaks a bunch of Christians out. Ah! Them Baptist churches are growing and we're not. Well, I wonder why. Don't ever look down your nose on anyone. I don't care what they've done. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And the sinners he saves are those who know they need a Savior. Do you know that this morning? Are you here this morning and can you say, you know, I've really never trusted my life to Christ. I've never got out of the pig pen. I'm religious, but I'm still in there eating with the hogs. That's not salvation. You're supposed to get out of that pig pen. Or maybe you are a Christian. You say, well, I am in the pig pen. Well, I just told you what to do. Get out. Return to your Father. John says, my little children, I write these things to you that you do not sin, but if, not when, if anyone sins, you have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the Spirit's revealed to me that I angered some of you when I said sin is an exception in my life. You actually thought that I thought I was holier than you. That's not what I meant. I am not in the habit of sinning. That's what I mean. I have the Spirit of Christ in me, and I choose to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Sometimes I get in the flesh, and he reaches over, pops me on the back of the head, get back over here. Some of y'all would have known me 30 years ago if you'd know what I'm talking about. If you need to give your heart to Christ this morning, don't walk out here and say, I'll do it another day. That's what happened to Festus. He said, some other time I'll hear you. And there's no record that he came to Christ. And he would pull Paul out of prison and let Paul preach to him. And it said sometimes he would tremble at the things Paul said. And he'd say, another day, Paul. And that's one of our favorite things. Another time, man, another time. Let me think about it. I had one young lady say, you know, I know what the Bible says, and I want to make sure I'm really ready to be committed to Jesus Christ before I'm a Christian. Bless me in here. And I can tell you where she is and what she's doing, but I won't. It's none of your business, none of my business. But I told her one day, hey, you said you wanted to make this decision, but you needed to do this and that, and you didn't do that. You're over here. You're living in sin. Have you made up your mind? You don't need Christ. Well, I'm just waiting. That's a dangerous game, church. If you need to come to Christ this morning, would you come as we sing the song of invitation? Second half of a film we watched on the physiology of the human body, and it's on the side of intelligent design, where because these guys believe God created them. I do too. But it's an amazing video, especially if you like science. Y'all come tonight at 6 and watch that. I don't have any other announcements or prayer requests before me. So I'm going to ask whoever has the closing prayer to please offer.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, for everyone who has come out to worship today. We thank you for your word, which has come to us through it. We pray that you would continue to bless those who are sick and unable to be here today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will the circle be unbroken by the fire, Lord God, when by? There's a banner on the waiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. There's a banner.